I've come this far by grace. I made it. Thank God I made it. I made it. I've come this far.
Everybody say,
I made it. Thank God I made it. I made it. I've come this far.
Everybody say,
you don't lose the spirit. Carry whatever you received into the rest of the year, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Remember, just because you were on the mountaintop, does not mean that when you come to the valley, every problem will vanish. From today, you're going to face some stuff, but you have to always remember the visitation of the Lord and use that to deal with everything that comes your way. When Jesus came from the mountain of transfiguration, the first thing he realized was a demon-possessed boy who was being thrown into the fire, and Bishop Bismarck preached eloquently about it. Right after that, he had to confront that situation. But you will win in the name of Jesus. I say you will win in the name of Jesus. You will triumph in Jesus' name. I was telling my wife yesterday that I don't even know what to preach. All the messages have been preached already. So I'll just go and talk. So I'll just share a bit briefly. Two things I want to say before I share. I gave my first money transfer offering today. I became modern. I have left antiquity into modernity. So I followed all the regulations and just click. You know, the way you click and your money goes. It's a nice way to give money. So I was so happy that I was able to do it. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about online giving and using mobile money and all of that. We just want to encourage you to start working with that and working with that. The good thing about that is that when you get used to it, even when you don't come to church, your money will come. So now you can't make an excuse to say, oh, I wasn't in church. Yeah, you still had your phone. Give us your offering. Amen. So start using it. There are many options. You can do it online. You can do it on our website. You can use the church app. We give out the Greater Works app. It is part of the church app, and it will become regularly the ICGC app or Christ Temple app, where you can go get all the information and also give and so on. And it gives you a record of your giving. I was surprised that I went in there and I saw the record of all the offerings I gave at Greater Works registry. So that was quite good. So just to let you know, I have left you in antiquity, and I am now in the modern world. So as many of you as want to move on, the doors are open. I know some of you are still very old-fashioned, and we will intercede for you. Maybe we have to have another 7 days of power just for your sake. All right. Second announcement. I wasn't going to make this announcement because I wanted to wait a long time before I make this announcement, but I just feel to just let you know ahead of time that we have started construction of our new church auditorium. Amen. In heaven, there's a line of connection. Whatever you need here on earth, there is supply in heaven, and there is a line of connection, and that line of connection is traveled by obedience, through obedience. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 and 20 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you are willing and obedient, To be willing means to be prepared to do something. To be prepared to do something. To be obedient is to actually follow laid down rules. So God wants us to have a willing heart. In addition to the willing heart, he wants us to be obedient. Anytime we talk about obedience, it implies that there is an instruction. There is a command. There is a demand that we must respond to. And obedience is critical to everything that God wants us to do. For us to be obedient, there are a few things we have to be looking out for. First, we have to be sure of whether what we are obeying is God's voice. We have to be very sure. Is this God's voice? Is this what God is saying? Is this God's instruction? Is it just my own mind making up something? So that is very, very important. We have to be very sure that this is God's voice. This is God's instruction. Secondly, we have to be very clear of what he's saying. We have to be very clear. Yes, it is God's voice, but what is he really telling me? We have to be very clear of what he's saying. And thirdly, we have to be ready. What does he want me to do? We have to be sure. We have to be clear. We have to be ready. Now, God speaks to us in many ways, but he usually uses our own voice to speak to us. He uses our own mind to speak to us. He uses our own thoughts to speak to us. So when somebody says, God has spoken to me, or I have heard God speaking to me, that voice they heard, it was God using their own thought, their own mind to speak to them. So it's very important that when we are hearing God, we know that he's using our own thoughts to speak to us. And that is why you have to be able to separate your own thoughts from God's thoughts, so that what you are hearing has not been contaminated by your own thoughts and your own voice. We have to be sure, is this the voice of God? Because if it is the voice of God, you are guaranteed that if you obey it, you're going to get God's results. And am I very clear of what God is saying? And am I ready to do it? We'll look at a case study in the Bible of obedience. And for those of you who are used to PowerPoint, I'm not doing PowerPoint because, as I said, I'm just talking. It's just a short exhortation. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9 to 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9 to 14. It's a story that many of you would have heard if you went to Sunday school. How many of you went to Sunday school when you were kids? All right. Some of you were very bad from your youth. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. All right. But, you know, this story is in Sunday school. The story of Naaman, and his name was Naaman, and he dipped, and he dipped, and he dipped, and dipped, and dipped, and dipped, and dipped, and dipped, and he came out home. Did you learn that song? Okay. All right, you're good Christians. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9, the story of Naaman. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger saying to him, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you. You shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Obedience is very important. There are 3 things I want you to note in this passage. First is specific action. Specific action. Go wash. Go wash. So 2 instructions there. One is go, the other is wash. You can obey go and not wash. I don't think you can wash it without going, but you. So there are 2 instructions that were given to him, specific action. He didn't say walk and jump. He didn't say run and laugh. He said go wash. Obedience requires that you follow the instruction explicitly. Specific actions. Go wash. Every miracle of God is tied to obedience. Every miracle of God. Jesus says to a man who is lying down, paralyzed, impotent, he says, rise up, take up your bed and go. That's the instruction. Obedience is what is going to produce the healing. The man could lie down and say, what do you mean, rise up? Go wash in the pool. Stretch out your hand. Roll out the stone. Check the miracles of Jesus. There is obedience. So there is something about your obedience that is directly related to what God wants to do in your life. And you don't choose to make the instruction yourself and obey it yourself. Go wash. Specific action. Secondly, there is specific location in the Jordan. God's instruction relates usually to specific people, specific places. Naaman was not just to go wash, but to go wash in a specific place, the Jordan. Specific action, specific location. And the third thing we see is specific process. Specific process. There is specificity of the action, specificity of the location, specificity of the process. 7 times. That's the process. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Not 1, not 2, not 6, not 5, 7. So what is so special about 7? I don't know. But it's 7. Why didn't Elisha say 2 times or 1 time, but 7? Because that was the instruction. Go wash 7 times. Now, remember, this guy is an army general. He's not used to being given instructions.
He's the one who gives instructions. So he expected that when he got to the door of Elisha, he'll be treated like an army general. He gives instruction. As a matter of fact, he wanted to tell Elisha how he should be healed. He said, this is what I was expecting. You know, people who are so used to be in charge of their lives always want to determine the process for their benefit. They want to make the rules by themselves. Nobody tells them what to do. They want to make the rules. Stand up. No, I won't stand up. I'll sit down and do it. Come to the front. No, I'll stand wherever I am. And God is everywhere. He will do it anyhow. Yeah, God is everywhere, but he gave him specific instruction. Jesus put clay on somebody's eyes. Jesus is standing here. The man is sick in front of him. Jesus spits on the ground, makes clay, puts it on the man's eyes. What are you doing, Jesus? You are here. You can heal him. He puts the clay on the man's eyes and tells him, go and wash in the pool Siloam. Now, why doesn't he do it right here? That wasn't the instruction. Is the pool Siloam a blessed water? No. Is the clay a blessed clay? No. All that was needed was obedience. That's all. So he had to give him an instruction to obey, and in the obedience was his healing. So, Naaman nearly missed it. First, he was looking for human honor. He said, I thought he would have come out to me and meet me and salute me and acknowledge that a general has come to church. Well, if you are a member of this church, I think you have come to notice by now that, you know, people don't mean too much by their rank in this place. We don't spend our time following people's titles. We don't do things just because somebody is a big shot. You just come in and sit and receive the word and go. We don't spend time saying so and so is here and so and so. When we have programs, we just have our program. The important person to attend is Jehovah. We don't go out of our way inviting people and so come and sit down. Because you see, spiritual things are spiritual. And you don't want to divert attention from what God is doing so that your flesh gets honor. Because sometimes in trying to seek your own honor, you miss God. And if there is anything I'm very particular about, is to make sure that you don't miss God and that he gets the honor and the glory wherever we are and whatever we do. So, if you come to this church and you are a famous, famous person, and there are very famous people in this church, but they are mixed out everywhere. Not that we don't recognize them, we recognize who they are, we acknowledge them, we celebrate them, but in the presence of God, the protocol is a bit different. It's a bit different. So, we are very careful about that. So, if you come here looking for certain kinds of acknowledgments, this may not be the church you love. You come here and feel very offended and go back and say, nobody acknowledged me. Well, that was Naaman's problem. General Naaman, go wash. He said, what do you mean? I thought he would come out and meet me. Well, do you want healing or meeting? You know, because sometimes we forget what we are looking for. Are you looking for human acknowledgement? What are you really looking for? And then he says, well, I thought the man would come and meet me first. Give me the honor of my presence and meet me. I'm a general. We have colonized their nation anyway. We are superior to them. And then I thought he would come and wave his hand. In other words, I'm expecting some major spiritual drama. I think Naaman was an African, believe you me. This guy, if we go and check and check and check, he's a Ghanaian. I'm telling you. Because this guy said, you know, I thought he would come and wave his hand. In other words, you know, I thought he would come and wave his hand. Because, you know, Africans, they don't like simple instruction. They want do something. I've caught your spirit and released it. He said, I thought he would come and wave his hand and do some drama. Do some ritual. And then he asked the most ridiculous question. Isn't the water, Pharpa and Abana, the rivers better than Jordan? And for your information, Jordan was almost always muddy. It's as if people, you know, do galamse in the Jordan. It's always muddy. It's not a clean river, muddy river. So he's saying, I mean, if it's dipping in water, I have better stuff. But see, really, it's not about a Jordan. Jordan is not a special water, just water, just a river. The important thing is obedience. Why is obedience so important? Because it speaks of submission. The reason why obedience is important is because it speaks of submission. When you obey God, you have submitted to Him. You have bowed to Him. You have made yourself small so He can make you big. Everything you are going to experience from now on is going to be linked to obedience. It's going to be linked to obedience. And many times God will give you specific instructions. Do this, do that, do that. And sometimes you feel it so deeply in your heart. You know, I must do this. You know, it's not your own voice. Because if it was you, you wouldn't give that instruction to yourself. You give yourself an easier instruction. If, for example, you hear you are in the service right now, and I just pray you hear this voice. But I'm suggesting, should you ever hear this voice, that give $1 million. Father, please, let somebody hear that. All right. Now, just, you know, I'm joking. You know, I'm joking. But I'm not joking, but I'm joking. I'm serious. All right, so let's just say that you heard sign, give $1 million away. I mean, that's not instruction you give yourself, because you, if it was yourself, you would just say maybe 100 cedis or $1,000. That's a convenient instruction you give yourself. So when it's $1 million, it's not you. And somebody just heard it right now. It's not you, it's God. All right. So if God tells you that, do that. It may be the most difficult thing to do, but your miracle is tied to obedience. Otherwise, all the prayer is useless. Abraham had been praying for his wife, Sarah, to have a child. Prayed. And as a matter of fact, God sent an angel to come and tell him next year about this time, Sarah is going to have a child. But then, there is an act of obedience where God says to Abraham to pray for the wives of Abimelech because of what they did to Sarah. This is somebody who has offended him and his wife. And legally, he is supposed to hate them. But God says, pray for Abimelech's wife that they will have children. Now, whose wife needs children? My wife. Whom should I pray for? Abimelech's children. Abimelech, who wanted to steal my wife. But that was his point of obedience. Now, if you hear instruction to pray for your enemy's wife to have children, and your own wife has no children, believe you me, it's not you. Because if it was you, you would never give yourself that instruction. That's God. So Abraham prays for Abimelech's wives. They start having.
Welcome someone into the presence of the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen.
you are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can get by your plan. That's just the way it is.
No! Jehovah. There's no God like you. Say,
there's no God like Jehovah.
Let your hands
there's
and
no
declare.
God like Jehovah.
There's no God. There's no God.
No. Sing your own song to him. We honor you, we honor you, we honor you, we honor you, Lord.
join us sing.
You are
Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise. Jesus, we shout your name.
Come on, shout the name of Jesus.
Mind. To the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We live in Him, we move and have our being in Him. Because He's alive, we are also alive. This morning, shout His praise, shout His glory, shout unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Forever He remains our King and our Lord. And this morning, we come before that same King and we present our petition, because we believe He will grant us our request. We want to first of all thank God for 62 years of Ghana's independence. Our prayer is that He will give us wisdom to translate the independence, the freedom, into financial prosperity and economic prosperity. Kindly lift up your voice and begin to pray. We thank You, Lord, for 62 years of existence as a nation. We are grateful, Lord, for independence. 62 years of independence of our land. We are grateful. We thank You for that freedom. We thank You, Lord, for that which we have experienced, for Your blessing, for Your favor, for Your love. We thank You, Lord. We are grateful this morning as a nation. We lift our nation before You one more time, Lord. Our prayer is that grant us the spirit of wisdom. Release it from the throne of grace to affect every sector of our land. That out of wisdom, Lord, we will translate this freedom into economic prosperity, financial prosperity for our land. In the name of Jesus, we receive the spirit of wisdom to translate this freedom in the name of the Lord to economic freedom, to financial freedom, economic prosperity, financial prosperity. We will prosper in the land in the name of Jesus. By the spirit of wisdom, we will prosper in the land in the name of Jesus. We receive the spirit of wisdom from the throne of grace, and we declare a turnaround in our finances and a turnaround in our economic life for our nation in Jesus' name. You want also to pray that the church will rise up as a voice of transformation for Africa. Our prayer is that the power from the gospel will destroy every stronghold of inferiority. Africa will rise again. Kindly lift up your voice and begin to pray. Africa is rising up. We are rising up. Africa is rising up to occupy that place that God has purposed for us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Wherever the church is located, in every village, in every city, in every town, in every community, we declare the church will be released, and the church will rise up, and the church will be released as the voice of transformation in the name of Jesus. The church will be the voice of transformation, will represent the voice of transformation in the name of Jesus, in every community, in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, we declare that the power of the gospel, in the name of Jesus, will break every stronghold in our minds, it will be destroyed. The power of the gospel, the light from God's word, will throw more light and deal with every darkness of inferiority. Africa will rise. Africa will rise. Africa will rise to the place of glory, to the place of honor, in the name of Jesus, to the place of significance, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, O God. We give you all the glory. We thank you that the power of the gospel will bring transformation in our continent. Finally, you want to thank God that you have victory over sickness, over infirmity, and all afflictions. And your prayer is that you want to claim the blessing of healing and good health for yourself and every member of your family in Jesus' name. Kindly lift up your voice and begin to thank God. He has given you victory, victory over sickness, victory over infirmity, victory over affliction, any form of disease. God has given you victory. By the stripes of Jesus, you are victorious. We claim that blessing. We claim that promise. We claim that blessing. By the stripes of Jesus, we claim it for our family members. We claim it for our church members. We claim it for our lives. In the name of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, the word of God declares, I wish above all that you be in perfect health. We claim that promise in the name of Jesus. The word of God declares that healing is the bread of God's children. We claim that promise in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. We claim that promise in the name of Jesus. We walk in that blessing. We receive it, Lord. We thank you for good health. We thank you for healing. Perfect health for our lives. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory, and we thank you for this victory. We honor you, O God. You can go ahead and celebrate your victory in Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise. Church, tens of thousands of voices, including nature, always cry out and express the goodness of God. This morning, with the strength and the power in you, we join endless praise. We sing the hymn, Yes, God is Good.
Thank you. Church, His grace pardons us and His word quickens us, and so we can say without a doubt that God is good. This morning, if you have a testimony in your life of a time when the grace of God pardoned you, or the word of God just quickened you, you want to lift up your voice without reservation and declare that our God is good. Lift up a shout of praise to our God. Hallelujah. Indeed, our God is a good God. Kindly be seated in God's presence. On behalf of Dr. and Mrs. Utabel, it gives me great joy to welcome you to Christ Temple of the International Central Gospel Church. And to this beautiful Sunday morning, we are gathered unto Christ at Christ Temple. And we are convinced of one thing, that by the time this service is over, God would have deposited something in our spirits. We want to take a moment to welcome all those joining us online from the various continents of the world. We trust that the entrance of God's word will bring light into your life today. It's now time for us to love the Lord, to celebrate Him and appreciate Him with our giving. A time to give to God is very significant because God has done so much for us. And when we come to give back to Him, we give intentionally and we give thoughtfully because we are giving unto God. And today, as you package your offering in the envelope and address it with the relevant details, meditate on the man Cornelius. And in Acts chapter 10 and the verse 31, Bible says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, your prayer has been heard. In the month of March, may your prayer be heard. And he said, and your giving has been remembered in the sight of God. When you go against people more resourced and stronger than you, when you go to battle in your business, may God remember you and may He make a way for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For those desiring to give digitally in church today, please dial *773*0# on your mobile phone and select your preferred mobile money payment option. If you're watching us online from any part of the world, you can click on give at the top of your screen on centralgospel.com and select your preferred payment option. Bringing us song ministry to help with our offering, let's welcome Edith Kwachimafu with the song Speak Lord. Let's put hands together as she comes.
If you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with you. Lead me, Lord, in your way. Lead us, Lord, teach us your path. Without your light, we cannot see. Lord, let us walk each day with you. Lead us, Lord, in your ways. Speak, Lord, the servant here. Waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth, Master, let it now be heard. Oh, Lord, guide us and rescue us. If you lead us, we cannot be put to shame. Lord, let us walk each day with you. Lead us, Lord, in your way. Speak, Lord, a divine way.
Absolutely phenomenal. Let's put our hands together one more time for Edith Kwachimafu. The centerpiece of our lives is the Word of God. And so, church, right after this prayer, fittingly, let's open up our hearts with great expectation as we receive God's Word from our dear pastor, Dr. Mensah Utabo. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, we magnify you, and we celebrate you today. We thank you for your grace that lifts us up and pardons us, and for your word that quickens us. Today we bring our seed before you with gratitude and say, in accordance with your word, that let our prayer be heard. Our prayer for supply, our prayer for protection, our prayer for your provision, let it be heard in this month in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let our giving be remembered in every single area of our lives. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Let's rise up together as we make our declaration of wisdom in this year of wisdom. Are you ready? Say with me, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By wisdom, he has founded the earth. By understanding, he has established the heavens. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Today, I incline my ear to the instruction of the Lord and my heart to his spirit. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. He is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I have the mind of Christ. His word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Therefore, my steps are ordered in righteousness. On Christ the solid rock, I stand. His wisdom and knowledge are the stability of my life. Today, I declare the word of the Lord. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for me. I am blessed in Christ. Salvation, favor, and increase are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated in heavenly places in Christ, and it's a joy to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. I trust that you're doing well. We had a great celebration last week of our 35th anniversary as a church, and I was telling my wife, this is the nicest I have seen people dress up in this church. You were looking very splendid. Your church fabric and the various attires, very sanctified and very beautiful. Everybody looked so good, and I enjoyed watching all the pictures. I watched a lot of pictures that were taken, a lot of you who went on the catwalk and showed off your attire and your nice walking styles. I saw all of that, and you are looking good. Most of the men, I know you don't like catwalking, but I saw some of you also in pictures, and everybody was looking good. So congratulations on all of you for how you presented yourself as a church last week. We trust God that He will be with us for the next 35 years, and I fully intend in the next 35 years to present myself in church again. Amen. And you must intend that too. Just add 35 years to your life and just make a decision, you'll be here. No matter where the 35 will land you, you will be here. And we will present ourselves. I said a couple of weeks ago, I would not be general overseer at that time. I will be sitting in the congregation listening to my general overseer then, at that time, whoever that person would be. It is good just to see God growing us as a church from grace to grace, from glory to glory, from power to power. Amen. Well, today I'm preaching a word that I have titled Building on the Rock. Building on the Rock. It begins a series of messages I will be preaching around the word building. So today I'm talking on building on the rock. And next week I will pick on something else we should be building on. One of the significant activities that are associated with wisdom in the Bible is building. Often when you read the Bible, wisdom is related to building something. Either we're building our lives, or building our homes, or building our business and enterprise. Wisdom is a builder. The Bible says that wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn out her seven pillars in Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1. Wisdom is a builder. And building is very important. The way we build our church, the way we build our lives, the way we build our homes, the way we build our marriages, our businesses, and everything related to us is very important. Jesus talked about two types of builders. He talked about those who build on the rock and those who build on the sand. And today we're going to explore what it means to build on the rock as Jesus taught it. And we'll read from the sayings of Jesus from two gospel accounts. We'll read from Matthew and then we'll read from Luke. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24 to 27, and then we will later read Luke chapter 6 verse 46 to 49. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24 to 27. Let's hear the reading of God's word. Therefore, Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Luke chapter 6 is a similar account with slightly different emphasis in words. Luke chapter 6 from verse 46 to 49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Both passages in Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6 are referencing the same statement of Jesus Christ, the same parable of Jesus. Both Matthew and Luke present it, but they emphasize slightly differently on different words and give us different perspectives, although they are talking about the same thing. So I'm going to use both accounts in a synchronized form. In other words, I'm going to look at what Matthew says and what Luke says, and I'm going to mix them together. I'm going to make them into one parable. Matthew records his account of what we read, Matthew chapter 7, as the last statement Jesus made on his Sermon on the Mount. Now, those of you who know your Bibles well, and if you come to a church like this, you should know your Bible. You may have heard about something called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, just be honest with me. How many of you have heard the Sermon on the Mount? You know what that means. Okay, wave your hand. Okay. Now, how many of you don't know what sermon is and what that mountain is? Okay, a few people don't know what that is. Okay. The Sermon on the Mount is recorded from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. It is the longest recorded teaching of Jesus, because continuously from Matthew chapter 5, from verse 1 to the last in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching. And this is the longest continuous teaching of Jesus you find in the scriptures. And so it's very important. Anybody who wants to study about the words of Jesus Christ pays attention to the Sermon on the Mount because of the vast expanse of the words of Jesus. So many of them written. Now, the Sermon on the Mount begins with what we normally call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes is when he says, blessed are so-and-so, for so-and-so shall happen to them. Blessed are so-and-so, and so-and-so shall happen to them. That's called the Beatitudes. And then he goes into different things about the law that he has brought. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that is when this parable was stated. So you can say, in essence, this parable is the summary of the Sermon on the Mount. Is after Jesus had taught for so long, he then talks about the wise man and the foolish man and they building and the consequences of what they are building. So this is very important because it is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the end of the teaching of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And that's why we pay particular attention to it, because of the relevance it has. Now, in the passages we read, Jesus states that there are two ways in which to build, we can build our lives. There are two ways. First, he talks about the rock. We can build on the rock. The rock is very important in the story, and we'll say so much about it. The Greek word that is translated rock is petra. Petra means a bedrock or a large flat lying rock. It is immovable. It is strong. Petra is not a big stone that you can hold in your hand and throw. It is a large flat lying rock. You have to understand that Jesus did not grow in West Africa. How many of you know Jesus did not grow up in West Africa? We wish he was here, but he didn't come here. Somehow, his disciples behaved like West Africans, but really, he didn't grow up in Ghana. Jesus grew up in the Middle East, and the geography of the Middle East is very different from what we have here. The sand there is very shifty. Because there's a lot of desert. And so when people were going to build, they had to be sure that the building would stand. And what they would do is dig until they find a flat rock. And that flat rock is the Petra. And that is the rock Jesus is talking about. He's not just talking about a piece of stone or even a big piece of stone, but something that is very wide that can carry something to be built on it. Petra. And that is the kind of rock Jesus is talking about. It is able to hold what we build on it. Petra. Those who build on it are able to keep what they have built on it. Then he talked about sand. Sand. The word that is used in the original language means loose soil, amos. And that is soil that is not tightly held together. It is unstable and it is weak. Now this kind of sand is not exactly like the sand on the seashore, but it's almost like the sand kind of ground you grow crops in. The kind of ground you grow crops in. It seems to be together, but it doesn't have enough strength to carry weight. It can grow you some tomatoes, but you cannot build on it. It is unable to hold what we build on it. So Jesus says, when you're building your life,